Blog Talk Radio. All the way that I could Welcome one and all. As we revisit you in the new year of 2023, here on season three of Five Speak Open Mic, the beginning, had some goofy stuff happening. Don't know what happened. I'm going to just blame me. It's nobody else's responsibility except mine. So forgive me if you were trying to find certain things and they just wasn't around. These things happen, but we're not going to let it stop us. Matter of fact, as we go into the Jordan year, we're going to talk about all the good stuff that's happening, but we're going to get into it. Now, welcome to the Epiphany Radio Universe, also affectionately known as the Starship of For Real Entertainment Network, here where we encourage you to take your socks off. Baby, baby, and you're alive. My name is Mahali, affectionately known as Hob Rux. It's my poetry name. Got a lot of nicknames. Fearless Leader of the Drip, also known as King Drip. But when I do Fly Speak, I pretty much stick to Hob. So Fly Speak is a hidden radio show to bring you the best in MCs, poets, performers, mainly poets, that you might not have heard of, but see, people should be of note that you should understand, people who I believe are super dope and incredible. I curate everything based on culture and energy when it comes to Fly Speak. And so tonight, I am more than pleased, I mean very pleased, to bring you some of the most incredible poets that you will see this evening. Now, for this next poet, who I've had a distinct pleasure of watching him come into Clubhouse, you know, throw his bows, come through, and rock out. I like to call him Rock because he was Rock of his line, some Greek stuff going on there. But more importantly, he's solid as rock. Serious, complete, whole, immovable, immutable. But more importantly, solid. And that is Mr. Wallace Reed, who I have on the line. Now, the thing about Fly Speak is we treat it like it's like a live open mic, right? So we deal with our features first. We go through that with them, but we encourage you to keep your mics open and respond and applaud in real time. You know, we want to keep the energy going. We want to get everything that's happening. And for season three, like, except for this mess up, these Fly Speaks that you're going to get are going to be outstanding, and we're starting here first. And I can't think of someone better to start with. Now, Jawanza Amenum, I might have lost because I knew that he was having some problems, and hopefully he'll call in on his own. If he's here, please raise your hand by pressing 1 so that I know, because I don't read numbers well. I got to call the number like 80 times in order for me to remember it. So if you're here, raise your hand so I know it's you. Now, if you want to participate in open mic, please raise your hand. That's all you got to do. Press 1. Now, everything else is going on. Let me give you a background on some of that. The person who I do know is here, and I want to read his stuff directly. Hold on. Make sure I got everything I need. All right. Bring that honey instrumental down just a tad bit more. All right. Our feature tonight is Wallace the Elder Reed, who's a husband, father, son, brother, uncle, friend, mentor. Wallace G. Reed is an ordained elder, community activist, actor, auteur, poet, spoken word artist, along with his wife for 23 years, elders Natasha Stacy Reed and their daughter Sheridan Reed, who reside in Bluefield, Connecticut, where they work for the betterment of society through community activism. Born and raised in Hartford, Connecticut, he's a product of the Hartford public school system, graduating from Snell Weaver High in 1995. The elder attended and played football at Central Connecticut State University. The elder Wallace Reed was brought to Lutz House early in his life before he gave his life to the Lord in 2007 at the Sanctuary of Faith and Glory Church. Since then, he's developed and grown into the body of Christ every day and continues to seek out the Lord for guidance and wisdom in all things. Elder Reed is a player who loves to give God all of his glory, no matter the setting. His favorite scripture is Psalms 156. Let everything have breath, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. He currently sits on the board of Directors as Vice Chair of the Angels Edgewood Full Service Food Pantry, providing families suffering from food insecurities. He serves as a youth football coach with the Pop Warner team, Boonville Warhawks, from 2013 to 2019. He was a volunteer with the Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. Youth programs, Little Sisters with the Brooks, Delta Academy, Delta Gems. And finally, since 2019, he was called as a planning committee member for Calling All Brothers, a group of local black men determined to make a difference for children in the greater Hartford area. All of his activities come from every form of creative expression. His art reflects his character, his dedication to those around him. You can find the Elder on Clubhouse. Hold on. Sorry. Lost the page real quick. You can find the Elder on Clubhouse. All right, and as a founding member of the Small House of Poetry and the Lost Tribe of Poets, check out his Instagram page, MrReed76, to keep up with his activities both virtually and live. So hopefully that had you, got you. So we're going to bring in our first poet, of course, which is the Elder, Wallace Reed.
Hey, greeting Mojave. Greeting Mojave. Greeting Epiphany
What's
Radio. Greeting Fly Speak family. Good to be here.
What's happening? All right. So if you'd like to participate, raise your hands. People who I know not do anything else. Gina, I know you're here. Please press 1 to raise your hand. Essentially, Zanis, I see you. I also see another number. I think it's you, Danielle, but I can't tell. But you're going to have to raise your hands because I don't read numbers well. That's kind of what happened. All right. Juwanza, if you are here, please raise your hand. I do not know the number. I wasn't able to find it in Instagram. So if you're here, raise your hand, and then I will definitely do the read for you. I also have another area code. 860-752. Who may I assist?
Donna.
Hey, Mama Donna.
Hey, Donna. How you doing?
The queen who birthed the man. All right. And who's a fantastic and phenomenal poet herself. Well, listen, all right. Well, this is a bonus, I would like to say. Well, welcome to Philosopheak to both of you. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing okay. It's good to talk to you, Mojave. And thank you for having my son on. I'm sure a lot of people are going to enjoy him.
Oh, yeah. He knows how I feel about him. He knows how I feel about him. We talk about this all the time. He's a serious brother. You know.
Believe me, I know it from the time he was a child.
You know that from a child. You know I get to ask him since your mama's here. You know, I get to ask questions I really want to ask. If you don't mind, I'm embarrassed.
Go ahead.
You know, but Rock, you don't mind if I ask these questions.
Nah, ask my mom whatever you want.
So, all right, so just the opening, and this is just off the beaten path and not the questions I've prepared. So, Mama Donna, how did you know that your son was going to be a poet?
No, I didn't know my son was going to be a poet. I knew he was going to be accomplished whatever he did. Because he was always a serious young man. He was a focused young man. And when he started telling me he was doing poetry, I couldn't always get to where he was going, but I tried to get to it. But Clubhouse made it easier for me to be able to hear what he said, what his spoken words. So once I came on Clubhouse, I specifically downloaded Clubhouse because he had a feature coming up. So I came to listen to his feature. So, yeah, that's how that's.
So how does it feel to watch him go forth and be so accomplished in the spoken word world? And then the second part of the question is to you, Wallace, if you felt when you came onto Clubhouse, like it was going to get that deep for you.
Is that first part for me or for him?
Yeah, the first part's for you. Second part's for him.
All right. For me, I'm always been proud of my son. even when he thought I wasn't proud of him because of what was going on with him. I've always been proud of my son. So, and I know that if he put his mind to anything that he wanted to do, he would do it damn well. So I was never worried about that because that's the kind of nature he has. And he's always been bossy. Yeah. He's always been bossy and giving directions to his mother. So why now? He's a leader. So that's why he's always been. He's a leader.
To answer my question.
He's laughing because you know it's true.
I mean, all I can do is laugh. I've been put in leadership positions no matter where I was. I went from bagging groceries when I was in high school, you know, senior year, to running the front end. Why? Because that's what's supposed to happen in 3 months as a teenager. It just doesn't. You know what I mean? It's just always been that case. So, but as far as when I came on the Clubhouse, I say this, and I think people think I'm clowning sometimes. I had maybe 6 pieces I wrote in the last 3 years. And it was just kind of like I was going to open mics, but I really wasn't writing a lot. I never felt inspired to write, but I was going to open mics, fill the room, and I'd just come off the top of the head and just give something. Sometimes it was poetic. Sometimes it was just inspirational because I'm a speaker, right? I'm an orator. I'm a preacher, you know. So I was just giving people what was needed in the room. But, you know, when I got on the Clubhouse, you know, and I found the poetry community, right? And I followed Trey. Y'all know Trey Brown, Pyro. I followed him into a poetry room. It was an improv room. And I was like, oh, improv. I never even thought about improv poetry. This is what I'm basically doing. They're just directing what I talk about. So my first time I jumped on stage would have been, you know, a year ago, 2 weeks ago, right? And I jumped on the stage, and I spit, and I was addicted. I was like, oh, I got to find rooms. Then I found Write and Chill. And I found that they was giving out prompts, so that started making me write. And then I just started writing more poems, and then I got pulled into the Small House of Poetry. And we were like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start doing shows. Okay, let's do shows. And then, you know, out of the blue in February, because I got to go after December, early February, this young lady who doesn't do a lot of rooms, she goes by the beautiful one, Sierra Goins, she was like, hey, I think you could do a feature for me. And I'm like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I mean, I just started writing again, right? And then I said, you know what? Nah, I'm going to take it. By the end of February, I did my first feature. We started getting the Small House of Poetry going. Then I was on the app so much. I'm in this room, that room. I started, you know, going to this room on the red. I got the rotation, the schedule. And I just kept getting deeper. But I just kept getting deeper and sitting in the spaces with all these poets like you, Gina, Jared, the Arties, the, you know, the Nates, the Tariqs. And just sitting in the room with all this fly poetry, the Lotties and the Fad, you know, like, yo, I got to step my game up. And it was just like being in that environment. It was like an incubator. So I didn't think I would get this deep to where I'm, you know, I'm even on your show right now. I didn't even know about the blog sphere. I didn't know about Blog Talk Radio, any of these call-in shows, because my mics are dry in our area. We don't have a lot of open mics. And they don't stick around because they're not well attended. So, you know, we don't get a ton of live mics. So being able to call in the Clubhouse, being able to call into these shows is like a lifeline to make sure that, you know, you keep your pen moving. So I never saw getting this deep into it. I never saw the expansion of my pen, but I'm glad it's here.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just super fantastic. I mean, a lot of times I think when you're in certain areas, suburban, urban, what have you, a lot of times people will not, like literally, Friday, I have to go to this open mic that's literally down the block from my house. There was 2 events where, you know, I was trying to find, like, I'm surrounded by people of color, don't get me wrong, but I was trying to find the thing that makes community, like communities and things of that sort, you know, and then I found out there's this open mic that's literally down the block from my house. And it's weird because I'm setting up and I'm doing the research to do our show on whatchamacallit, because we're going to utilize different means. Like, I was like, you know, you got to use 4 or 5 different means when you're out of state to try to attract people in areas, you know, not just the people you know, but the people you don't know. So I have a very wise friend who works on Atlanta Radio at V103. And so they were telling, she was basically giving me the formula. So, like, I was applying the formula here, and I found this open mic down the block from me. And I was like, this is literally down the block from my house. Like, literally. Like I can walk there quick. Right, and it's been here this whole entire time. And I can't think of how many times I drove by it, walked by it, and, you know, because you don't think anything else. So me as a poet, person who poets, who travels due to poetry, literally in my backyard, here's something I could have been doing this whole entire time and not having to actually doing a lot of travel just for me or something like that. So I understand what it is to be in an environment where you're trying to get stuff and people might not be able to tell it. Mostly it's because people don't know. And so it's how information gets out that changes things. So
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things like that. That's pretty good. So, all right, so let's get back into doing the piece, because I've had the chance to watch you evolve as a poet, you know, and I've also had the chance to sit in. I'm also in the chat with Small House of Poetry. I don't know what happened there. I was like, are they keeping me in the chat? I was like, why am I still in the chat, right? Because it's wild, right? It's buck wild. But more importantly, you know, I'm around you. You're probably, you know, next to Jared, you're probably the person I'm around the most, and that we cross-sect on many different levels. And I remember when you first came to, you called in just to check things out, which I like the fact that you have a curiosity about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to find out, you know, and all of our conversations have always been serious. I also had you as a personal feature on, the Drip Does Gospel, which, you know,
yeah.
Surprisingly enough, when we talk about things, all things spirit, you know, because people don't know that I have that side of me, which is hilarious. But it's hilarious. I don't know if you find that funny, but I
always do, because like, you don't understand the, you know, there's multiple natures to all of us, right? And I think people, they start to pigeonhole you on certain things. Like, you become known for something. Pigeonhole you. Like, I had to do the reverse every once in a while. I have a couple pieces that lean a lot of consensual. And then people's like, oh, this room's getting crazy. Wow, let's come give us some of these grounded pieces. Oh, I'm not the weather. Don't predict me. I got some of that, too. You know, because, you know, there's more to us than what we normally walk down. You know what I mean? So we're all complex. We got to be able to have all our facets, right? That's how we shine the brightest, with mm-hmm. all the facets, right? If you have a diamond with only three cuts, it's not going to sparkle as many as one with 32. So we have to have all our facets shown in order for us to shine as brightly as possible. And so, you know, so mm-hmm. I understand that, because there's people, because I do lean spiritual more often than not, or, you know, down a certain path, people don't ever expect me to diverge from into certain things. And so they pigeonhole you. So you get pigeonholed as, oh, you the drip. How many times have we been in a room together and somebody's like, oh, my hobby's going to come drip? And you're like, nah, that's not today. Here's this piece about bullying.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
I got to do it all the time.
You know, because you know, there's more to you than that, while you're great at what you do. But don't limit people to what that is. So definitely understand it. Like, you know, you've seen this before, right? This meme that floats around the internet. It's a room full of strippers and their hands and they're praying before they perform. And everybody mm-hmm. thinks there's a contradiction in that. But I'm thinking they're out here doing work that could be potentially dangerous. They need to seek God to cover them. We don't know why they're in the situation they're in and why that's their job. But that doesn't mean they can't have faith and belief because they're doing something that's considered, you know, taboo. And I think that's where the confusion comes in. It's taboo because we have these things, these walls we put up in society and says, this is normal, this isn't. But it's not necessarily, you know, bad. But we put a negative connotation on it, a spin on it. And then people expect you to not be able to move into the light because they think all you work in is in dark.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the limited understanding of certain people because they don't choose to look beyond what's going on. So they kind of see people on surface. Or the limited amount of understanding that they might possess in perceiving people, you know, not understanding that people are actually multi-level, multi-healed, multi-purposed, and everything else like that. Like, you know, so a lot of times if you don't disclose or discuss, people are left to think whatever they're thinking about. Like, for me, I literally don't care. I literally don't care. So, you know, because it's a different idea that people should have when it comes to certain things. So if you're judging people, you know, before anything else, you got a beam in your eye and you're so worried about something else before you take the beam out of yours, you have to really focus on what's going on. So 9 times out of 10, you know, like people get into it, like, you know, and it's weird because all the features I've been doing recently, literally have people asking me about the different perspectives. Like, I do this thing called Sunrise Scribe. And so, like, the scribe is, like, talking to me, you know, because they're like another layer of people that are so close to my heart and everything else where I feel free with. They're like, the way that you describe your childhood in full, you know, we want you to write about your childhood and then write the explanation in a book behind that. So the poetry and then the actual story written by your hand because of the way that you tell stories. And they said that's so unique for the way that you get text to the things, the way that you paint. And, you know, so when you're hearing somebody like Omari giving you praise for that, you know, and Omari is like a person who I very much look up to, even though we stand toe to toe. The things that he knows and the things that he's been through, like, it's like crazy to hear that. And it's like to know you're around people who have that many different levels. It's a pretty amazing thing. But let me take it off of me and go back to you. So I've noticed that you've been rocking this poem real dope, like, got videos, the rocking. I believe I even think I seen you with a hat on backwards, but you know I don't want to gossip, so you know you get up.
It's tilted to a rakish angle, sir. It's not backwards. It's tilted to a rakish angle. That's all.
I'm just saying, right? So I always want to ask poets about the nature of that particular poem.
Okay.
So what brought that poem about? You know, and then we're going to get into it because I really want you to do the poem. What brought that poem about?
All right. So that poem is called Lyrical Lobotomies, and I actually have a part two that I melded to it. So it's Lyrical Lobotomies along with The Return of the Lobotomist. And what happened was, in the early stages of Small House, we were looking for show ideas, and we did one room where we had a segment where we used archaic words, right? Words that are not rarely used or kind of, you know, these big dictionary words, right? And we were sitting in the room, and I said, hey, I use some of these words already in my regular, it's part of my regular lexicon. And they were like, nobody uses these words. So they clowned me for it. The next day, on Monday, the tribe was doing Monday Metaphor Madness. So we were sitting there writing pieces, and it was supposed to be, you know, kind of metaphor heavy or simile heavy, whatever. You know, it's called Metaphor Madness, but I was like, I'm sitting here with Sincere and all these other people that kind of like have bars. And I was like, I want to write something that's along those lines. But I'm about to use the most ridiculously large words I can, use them properly, and then I'm going to speed it up. And that's how that piece was born. Once I got the cadence down, it's like, yo, the crazy thing, it's one of three pieces I actually know without memorized. And it's just because of how crazy it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that started. And then and then when I do it, you know, and I can slow it down and speed it up, and it still hits. But I like the fast delivery just because it's like, it bounces.
Since we're talking about, all right, so before we get into the piece, since you brought that up, we're talking about hits. How do you know when your poem hits?
First, it got to feel good coming out for me, right? But, you know, I pay attention to the feedback, whether I necessarily hear it or not. But you can see, it's the one that where people hit me about, will message me, hey, what's the name of that one again? I want to request it next time you get a chance. Or, you know, people are like, oh, that's ridiculous. And, you know, just kind of just when they sit there and they really kind of are in all the delivery or the content, and you kind of know, like, hey, this resonated with people. While being a preacher, I know not to regard the faces and not to take too much out of reaction or no reaction. You can tell when somebody receives something from you just by the way that they actually, the way they respond to it. And so to me, that's how I know a piece hit, you know, for me personally. Sometimes, you know, I think a piece might be working, and, you know, I get the crickets, all right, let me go to the drawing board because maybe there's something there that I didn't have, but if I like it, I'm going to still keep spitting it.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. You know, speaking of which, I think is real crazy, not to put any personal business or anything else out there, but, you know, something happened in a feature, and a certain poet was super upset that people didn't respond in the way that they felt that they should have responded to the poem. So then they took it to a chat, And then somebody was honest with them about why the poem didn't hit. Now, the funny thing is, like, I had been watching this poet. Like, I didn't know it was the same poet, but the poet literally had been, like, in another room, you know, like, just talking trash about Clubhouse poets. Wasn't saying names, but was talking trash about certain poets, right? So I always feel mm-hmm. like it's bad form when you're talking bad mm-hmm. about people, anything else. Even if you like them, you should keep it to yourself. Unless that person says something to you directly, then you might want to respond. You might want to respond, depending on your maturity level, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So literally this poet was so upset that people didn't respond to their poems and was like, yo, it's a tough room, blah, blah, blah. And somebody explained to him, like, you know, when you come into it, the importance of reading a room, you know, the importance of of hearing what's being said and either matching the energy or having the skill to change the energy to a poem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the funny thing is, like, some people possess that ability to do it. Like, actually, what I saw that was pretty amazing, since Mama Donna's on the line, when you did your feature in Verbs and Vibes and you did this one particular poem, like, it just changed the entire energy in the room, right? Because that's the weight and the gravity of the poem. It pulls you into its orbit and doesn't surrender you. It brings you closer to its own, right? And this person did not possess that ability. And so they got so upset because somebody was telling them what it was, and then they just went to IG and just went all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm like, how old are you again?
Oh, did he go to IG after I did that? I didn't know.
I'm not saying no names, but yeah.
No, I know who you're talking about. No, he thinks I'm from New York, by the way. I don't know why. What gave him that impression? Because, you know, and he has a F, the poetry community piece that he decided to debut a couple weeks ago. And I'm the guy from New York.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes. And the funny thing, you know, the funny thing is that you got to be careful who you run into, right? You got to be careful. You don't know who that person is and how many people that person might represent, right? So it's hilarious to me. And then, you know. But he's like, he was going hard to paint, and I'm sitting here like, I was like, yo, it's all fun and games until you really like start calling people out and doing. And I was like, I know that the first time someone told me no about a poem, my response was to go wherever they were, and to keep reading poems till they broke down and folded, right? And they played me several times when I got to that. I just did an interview about this, right? And the dude told me, like, I'm a young lion in the English department at my university, you know, writing stuff that people, you know, say, hell, this is brilliant, this is genius. And they was like, yeah, that poem's all right. It could be better, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, who are you? Who are you? And I said, and then I went literally to where they was and made a name for myself, right, because I didn't quit. I didn't go, you know. But I just realized that some poets are not made of that kind of material.
That's right. See, hold on. I bet you, though, you tried to dissect what about your delivery, what about the cadence, what about the structure would make it more appealing if that's what you were looking to have it be, right? Unable to accept feedback, to even look at your own work and say, hey, maybe I should try this or that, then I, like, you know, I used to read my pieces just loud and monotone when I first got on the app. And now there's vocal inflections, and, you know, I speed stuff up, I slow stuff down, I pause when I need to. Before, it used to be like, boom, I'm getting these words out. I wrote them, we're going to say them just like this. And I'm going to give you volume. I'm going to put all my backing behind it because I'm a speaker and I can speak without a microphone in a loud area. I support my voice with my diaphragm, so I'm always loud. I'm going to be loud. You know what I mean? I think the app be trying to modulate to keep me down because I be having sound issues all the time now because I'm just loud. So, you know, but when you tell somebody, hey, the write is great, but you're not presenting it in a way that makes it appealing, if you work on that, more people will respond. And then maybe somebody might buy your book. But, oh, they try to change it. Mm-hmm. I can't work with you then. You know, never mind. I'll highlight you later. You know, and that's That's really what it came down to. Yeah, yeah. It's funny. We ain't putting business out there, but I did step out of character. They saw the facet of a man that I talk about that I'm overcoming in my pieces. Let's say that. On that given day.
Listen, I go through that same process all the time. And so some people they'll ask me like why I won't say anything. I said me not saying something is me holding my peace the best way I know how.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Because I can get a little crazy and go at people, but you know, but we of the thick hand tribe,
heavy handed and big. Yep. They don't want to.
We have to practice out a particular way, so you're not causing problems, issues, or concerns, and engaging in things that might cause consequences. That's what I remember when you read the poem about the teacher, and I was like, yo, I said this dude Wallace is all right. Like, he's all right. And then you can tell the story about getting in a fight. And I was like, all right. I said, you know what? I like this guy. I was like, I don't even know who he is, but I like him. And so that's why I've always been jovial with you in every sense of the word, you know. But
most definitely. I felt that. And I received that even when, you know, when I checked in on you when you were sick, you know, trying to see what was going on, make sure you were good. You know, the conversation we had then,
yeah.
You know, after I first found, you know, this whole area, you know, because the first time I ever tried to call in, because you do start your shows with a lot of music. I was like, is there something wrong? Am I not mm-hmm. in tune? Because the first time I ever tried to call in was when Lottie did her feature. And so I was like,
yeah,
there's a lot of music. Is this actually happening? Maybe something's wrong. I'll check it out next time. So that's why I had to slide back the next week because I found out, no, it was good. I was like, dang. So, you know, now I know how it operates.
You know, I'm a musical person. Like, I, you know, like people mm-hmm. like, you know, it's such a gimmick that you read poems with music. You know, I like that. That's my other favorite thing. Yeah, you can't read a poem with no music. I said, no, I very much can read a poem without music. That's just, I like to read the poem the way I like to read it. Not about you.
Mm-hmm.
About what I want to do. But the funny thing is that more than likely, like, and I explain certain things, like I say, you know, like when we watch movies, we hear music. Or music sets the tone. You ever, you know, before an event, people play music, get their minds ready, settle their wavelengths, get them all in a certain thing. That's the same thing. It's nothing different. You know, we always like to hear things. And one of the things that I feel like it's a gift is to be able to find the right music to match the poem or write the poem for the music. It just happens. And so, you know, it's just like, you know, like I'm just going to go out on them. I don't like none of the hip hop that's out except for Coastal Contra and certain things and people who are super lyrical, Kendrick Lamar, you know, J. Cole. I don't like a lot of this music. I just don't, because I just feel like it's mindless. It's drone music. It's music meant to keep you monotone and keep you, you know, colorless, baseless, odorless.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have flavor. You know what I'm saying? So when I do certain things, I need it to feel. I need a feel. You know what I'm saying? I need a feel of the music and everything else like that. And then on top of that, when you're in an environment such as being in a room with Tariq or Nate or, you know, Jared's voice is just crazy. You know, just the way he talks when he does the poem. Like, man, listen, come in here, you know, like Othello, man. Come on. You know, you hear the strength, you know, and stuff like that, especially when I did the music for y'all show, which is funny. And Fabi did her piece, and I was like, wow. You know, like Fabi used music so effectively in that piece. Like,
mm-hmm.
it just transformed me. And I love poems that make me close my eyes and see everything happening like it's a movie. You know, and I'm glad that you're one of those poets that has the ability to tell a story to do that.
No, I appreciate that.
So, well, you're welcome. You ready to do some poetry, man?
Now,
this time we're going to do some poems. If you want to read a poem, you got to raise your hand. Or I can open your mic. You hit me on the back channel. You can hit me on the back channel if you know how to hit me on the back channel. But if you listen to the thing, want to do a poem. Janice, I see you. I want to hear a poem. Raise your hands. But we're going to go to the elder, Wallace Reed, for our first poem. Are you ready?
Well, definitely. And I have a question. And as a question, we'll do lyrical lobotomies. My sound is great, right? My sound quality is fine.
You sound fantastic.
Okay. Here we go. I'm feeling lyrical, the data empirical. When I choose to plug in and let my pen get open, I can jam a million thoughts in a couplet. Sky's the limit when I spit it, quick with it, leaving it in with it in the dust. It's a must you trust the process. It's monotonous to suppress this mindset, intellect to assuage your ignorance. When I get to the chorus, get a thesaurus. Because at my core, it's just actual and factual. I have this way to terminate invertebrate core magnum thinkers. Lyrical lobotomies leaving your brain leaking. Rigor mortis sets into lesson, the convulsion, contortion, and your body motion. It's absurd how loquacious words that you heard from this nerd eradicate your motor functions, killing your thoughts with no compunction. Okay, round two. I cut in the shoe. The opportunity caused more damage to you, but I got a heart for the people, especially the mind people. It's only right. I smite you, troglodytes, when I recite the words that I write. Look, I'm not pretentious, just conscientious. And I continue to kill your thoughts when an orthodox line spilling out my speaker box. Love below my bellow, a mellow, undertones of malice. Chalice full of hate, deflate your ego. So here we go, the moment your mind blows. Danger, danger, overload. Brain cells implode, explode. Gray matter, spider, don't flatter yourself. You never comprehended this mind bending verbal blood, letting clean up on our ten. As I ascend back to my high tower, to the next fool I have to devour, creating mindless zombies with these clerical lobotomies. Hold up. It's the return. I have people claiming for another show, another tyrannical lyrical animal. The context of my lyrical content be so complex, every connection to your frontal cortex, now that's a verbal flex. Compared to the way I put together words, the skills looked absurd, got you fumbling, stumbling, slurring your words. My ratio makes a headache because I space the eight power lines of rhymes you can't relate as your brain is stratified. I mean, hemorrhage, leaving your brain damaged, nose leaking your pitiful thoughts, just seeping, congregating on the floor. But since you asked for war, for this legend of lore, I got more in store when I'm kicking in your front door. It's the return of the love. Bottomless, the scholarly artist anonymous with wordplays that slaps like gorillas from the mist. Got you fainting, screaming, he does exist. I'm top five on any list, but insist there's no other names, you get the gist. As I implement my vision with surgical precision, now your mind is cloudy, losing mobility, mental cognition, trapped in the haze, dazed thoughts, lost in the maze, longer for the lucidity of your form, a daze as your intelligence fades. I sound boastful, but God be praised. The moment's broken after I was made. Consider the repeaters I leave your brain smoking, a love token when you hear the elder has spoken.
Bravo, bravissimo. Lyrics, bars. That's what's up. That's what's up. Going hard in the paint. I like that. I like that a lot. So, you know what? What is Sincere? I want to know what Sincere thought when he first heard this piece.
He got stuck on troglodytes. He just loved that I used that word. Yo, it was that actually came in the second writing, right? So in the first writing, I had to run it back like three times. And he was like, that's ridiculous. You made my melanin move. You know, that's around the time he coined that phrase. So, you know, it was like, yeah, you made my melanin move. That's what's up. You know, something that's stuck. You know that. You know, it's pure pandemonium in the room that night. It was fun. We just having a good time. We stole haymakers that night because. There's some dope pieces that was written that night, for real.
Nah, that's what it is. So someone in the back channel just said, your flow was like rapid fire, and they put the fire emblem on it. So somebody was listening to it. Someone else listened to it, so it was like heart. You know.
I appreciate that.
I read responses. I read the responses. People understand. If you hit us in the back channel, we read the responses. All right. Matter of fact, hold on. Let me open Gina's mic. Gina, are you there? Gina.
She's probably doing three different things at once.
More than likely. For real. I don't have no music playing in the background. Boss Man, are you there? don't know if it's maybe it's my hookup. I don't know. Van, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
So, yo, Van, so what do you think of our features of rapid fire delivery? Dope.
Hey,
super,
man,
super
listen.
Linguistical.
I was like, please don't ask me to come behind that. Please don't even ask me to try to spit after that.
We're not gonna do that.
But I appreciate it. But Elder, man, listen. The way that you did this piece, man, was just superb, phenomenal. I thought I was listening to Twista or somebody. The way that you was delivering this, man, this was a dope spit, man. And the content, man, my God, bro. Whew. Phenomenal, bro.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So Mama Donna, how you feel about your son spitting like this?
I be sitting here, look, I know I ain't going to be able to do that, so I'm not even going to try to attempt to do something like that. And, you know, that's phenomenal. That piece, when he did it, and then he joined two pieces together, I don't even know how he did that, you know. I'm always in awe of him and his writing skills. You know, so I wouldn't go behind him either. And we've done a show together.
Well, I was actually going to ask you. if you would go behind your son, but
go behind. I ain't worried about that.
You're not meant to do it like that, man, because your voice is totally different. And, yeah, so, you know, whatever you brought to bring.
I'm not meant to do it. I know my lane. I be in my lane. I'm new to this, so, hey, that's all right.
Now, you do very fine work, Mama Donna. I've heard you. It's been pretty amazing. So, that being said, would you like to share a piece with us?
Yep, let me just pull it up, and I do. It's a new piece. It's only like the third time I spit it. So here we go. Are you ready for me?
I am. When you're ready, the mic is yours.
A young girl named Charisma sits at her desk in her room looking at dance videos. There's one particular video that has her transfixed. She has to learn to dance moves before she can record it. There's an air of innocence to her consonants. She is no older than 12 years old. She has seen this dance performed on TikTok over and over again. She has finally mastered the moves after practicing religiously. The dance is intricate. She prays she doesn't mess up. Charisma is supposed to be doing her homework. If a mother comes into her room while she is recording, she will get in trouble. So she sets up her phone and begins to dance. It went flawlessly. She was able to complete the video without her mother knowing. She is excited because she looks like a professional dancer, in her opinion. After reviewing the video, she uploads it to the nether region called the Internet. She hopes it goes viral. She is blissfully unaware of the danger she has inadvertently invited into her home. A predator is sitting at his computer when the girl's video pops up on his computer screen. He is staring at her young body undulating in innocence to the dance steps she has remembered. He plays it over and over again, creating a fantasy within his mind. His obsession has given birth to the desires that rage within. He imagines a life of him and her living in blissful harmony. He just has to gain access to his prey. He reaches out to her. He compliments her on her dance move in the video. She is flattered. A stranger has shown interest in her. He slides into her DM. He lies and tells her he is 13 years old. He gains her trust by eliciting vital information from her. He finds out she is an only child of a single mother. She talks about wanting her father in her life. She trusts this individual with her innermost thoughts and feelings. The predator convinces her to divulge her address and phone number. He is slowly reeling her into his web. He arranges to have one of his girls, whose voice sounds closest to a teen boy, to engage her over the phone. He keeps a minimum of three young girls in his home. He has taught them to follow his every command, The predator puts the phone on speaker to monitor the conversation. He has written out a script for her to follow. When the call is ended, his anger erupts. He yells and slaps the girl for almost blowing it. The girl did not stick to what he had written. He decides he will return to text him to continue the charade. He can't risk his girl messing this up. After 2 months of texting back and forth, the predator asks Charisma to send him a new picture. He knows that once she does, he will have the upper hand. He applies pressure by telling her that if she loved him, she would. She is reluctant. He then tells Charisma if he will leave her like her father did. Charisma is panicking. The predator has become her world. She is sure she loves him and he loves her. What harm can one picture do? The decision is made. The picture is sent. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. The predator demands guilty of her in various sexual positions. That one picture starts an avalanche of ever-increasing demands to perform for him exclusively. At least that is what he tells her. His aggression towards her is scary. Charisma feels trapped, alone, and betrayed. How did she get into this predicament? What if her mom finds out what she did? She comes to realize she doesn't really know this person. The predator threatens to put her videos on TikTok if she doesn't comply. The plan he initiated months ago is coming to fruition. He demands that she meet him up the street from her house. Charisma feels she has no choice. She sneaks out of her bedroom window unbeknownst to her mother. She is never seen or heard from again. That's what Mama Donna says.
Wow. 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 Mama Donna, that was intense.
Exactly. It's a hell of a write. A hell of a write. You are, your storytelling is really coming through a lot more in your pieces. Every piece has been kind of storyteller-esque as it was, but that was like a epic story that you told, heavy, but a lot of weight to it. But it does color the ills and the dangers that some of these kids are in, and they don't even realize it.
I mean, that's kind of like, you know, the funny thing is, I hate when people say the funny thing is. It's not funny. The thing is that, like, when we're looking at how predators are moving in, like, quick story. Somebody who I loved to get, like, anime from and everything else, you know, I had a really good relationship with him based off of our mutual knowledge. And then what was weird was he worked as a bouncer sometimes. And so for one of my events, you know, they was like, oh, do you know people who have, you know, who get back? I was like, yeah, get him. You know, and it was funny because he was working there for a minute and then they fired him. And I was like, why they fire him? And like, you know, I was upset. Like, I was really, like, tight. Like, I was like, yo, why they fire him? And then come to find out he had this whole thing with pedophilia. And I never even knew. And the case that he got convicted for, it was really bad. You know, and it was like, he enticed her. And so, and it's so crazy to hear how certain things, you know, anything else. And then, you know, there are pedophiles of all sorts. You know, there are men who are fathers that touch their children. And it's like crazy because like it'll be someone that you know and it'll flip you out. Like, you know, like me and Omar was talking about like that for how certain things are, like people really. And so hearing the story, like a lot of kids, when they get on these TikToks, they do all this other stuff and they're not really thinking about it. They're meeting people and they're thinking it's exciting, but they're not understanding how much danger they are really in. You know, nuts. Great piece.
Thank you. And I wrote that based up. I don't know if you heard of the story of this little 11-year-old girl that left with this 22-year-old man. And she told me she loved him and everything like that. And he was trafficking her. So they found her and rescued her. But, you know, that when I saw that story, this piece came to my mind, so I just wrote it.
The crazy thing is that there's so much craziness going on that it's very hard to believe, because you don't think that there's real Tyler Perry villain type people in the world, and there really are. It's almost sickening.
It's beyond sickening, because you know what? I didn't think it was it seems to be more prevalent now. It seems to be more out in the open. They're trying to normalize it. You know, he's got these NAMBAs that are trying to normalize sex with kids, and that is the natural thing. And if people don't watch out for these predators, yeah, there are groups that want to normalize it. You know, they want to say it's like homosexuality, pedophilia, you know, heterosexuality. I mean, they just want to say it's just, you know, it's just like that. So why stigmatize the pedophile? Because you shouldn't be having sex with a child. That's why.
That is not normal in any sense of the word. And it is not going to ever be normal. So, as far as I'm concerned, listen, you know, I draw very clear lines, you know. There's so much I can say right now. Like, there's so much that I can say, because I know people who have been victimized in the worst way, by people that they know, family, friend, a lot of different things that have gone on. But, you know, thank you for the peace, Mama Donna. Matter of fact, I found my bell. Hold on. You know, now we found the bell, and then, you know, then we followed up with some applause.
Okay, thank you.
You know, all right, so I'm going to go from there. I'm going to ask our station manager, Zed Meadows, if he has a piece he'd like to share.
Sure, bro. I can always share a piece. This piece is called If You. If you love flowers, I would speak life into each petal so it would never die. Show you the delicacy of your essence through the beautiful bouquets. Cherish the fragrance of the roses mixed with your scent. If you'd crave your favorite meal, I'd handpick every ingredient to make sure the nutrients are perfect for your health, encourage your taste buds to delight in each and every bite. If you'd prefer silk over cashmere, the softness pressed up against your skin, I'd make jealous just so no other element could compete for your attention. If you'd want to walk along the shore, I'd tell the sand to create a unique pathway that would be illuminated by the moonlight, where the stars would shine so bright, the effervescent light would humble itself on your beautiful glow. If you'd like to dance in the still of the night, I would be the musical instruments, orchestrating the most beautiful sounds soothing to your soul, while the rhythms inject love sounds into your aura. If you like to hear the sound of my voice, I would create powerful affirmations of love and record them every day so each one can be in awe of the ones previously stated the day before. If you'd like me to read your thoughts, I'm no mind reader. However, I've studied you and paid attention to your being long enough to know that I die trying to satisfy and please you. If you'd like to know more about love, call me Cupid, because every day would be like Valentine's Day, where I'd shower you with mental, spiritual, physical manifestations of acts and deeds necessary for you to feel and know my love for you. If you'd like me to study your love language, I would utilize them all to show you why you are not limited to just five and create new ones to demonstrate your value in my life. If you'd like me to stimulate you, I challenge myself to not just listen to you, but hear you, so I can apply what I've learned from your lips to drown out any flaws you think you have and replace them with knowledge of why I love you. If you'd have me, I'd give you my heart for eternity. Just promise me you'll never leave. No matter how hard it gets, just promise me. From the mind, the poetic.
Well, you're bad about it.
Exactly.
Okay.
To applause for you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, that man is super romantic, and he has a way with words. He'd be right. Mama Donna, since, you know, you're in here, how did you feel about the piece?
Well, I loved it. And it is very romantic, and it's touched on a lot of things that women want to hear from a man, you know. So I really loved it.
Thank you so much.
I'm good thing I'm not easily swoonable, but hey, it was nice.
Thank you.
Whoa! Wait a minute. Swoonable. I'm like, whoa. Hold on for a second. We use those words around here. Gina, I got her message in the background, so when she said when she's ready, she'll be able to do that. So what I'm going to do, hold on just a second, I just got a message. So, Van, here's a message for you, Van. You out here creating new love languages, Van, that came
absolutely
in from the back channel.
Absolutely.
You heard it here first. He's out here creating new love languages. You know, swoonable, you know. Poetic. Like, I'm out here being swoonable. That's what I'm doing.
Swoonable.
I'm out here being swoonable. Say, what's that cologne you wearing? It's called Swoon.
There you go. There you go.
Swoonable by Poetic.
Swoonable
Metals.
My man.
Yeah, Swoonable Metals. The one thing I can tell you, right, and about Epiphany Radio Men / Drip Men, we all smell fantastically wonderful. Like, you know, that's how it is. We all smell so I know. Number one, he got problems because, you know, he got a bald head, he got the big beard, and he got the green eyes. That's what I call him, the Green Eye Bandit. So now I guess I'm gonna have to call Van Metals, aka Swoonable.
That's
what y'all did.
Bro. You know that,
see
right?
See what y'all did.
You might.
Y'all gave a new nickname for me.
That's all right.
You might have to trademark it.
I might have to, man. I might have to.
As long as you give me credit, I don't care.
You got it, Mama Donna. You got it.
Well, Mama Donna, if we ever get a chance to do a show and we all come there and we have a smell good contest, we'll make sure that you get in the contest. Forgive me, Alda. So she can hug and smell her best favorite honey dripper that smells good, because, you know, that's what we do.
Okay.
You know.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. I run the contest, so I'm never in it. But I got the best hugs in the business. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Okay, if you can't
anyway,
pick up yourself, nobody else can.
That's what we got to do. So I have an unfinished piece that I'm going to read in here, because the time is going fast, and I think we'll be able to get through one more round of poetry. And then what I got to do, because it's a school night, and technically this kid is running around. He's running around, and I'm trying to get his rusty butt in the shower. Nah, he took a shower this morning, but I got to put him back in the shower today. So I might end maybe 10 minutes early, but it'll be okay, Van. I got to do all this other stuff, plus there's some weirdness I got to address. Anyway, that's besides the point. Right, so this prompt comes from Sunrise Scribe, and it says, make a recipe out of something like something good, like something good, you know, where it could be hope, imagination, or something. So this is my recipe for wonder that is unfinished. I'm going to finish because they told me that I had to finish it. But this is what I got so far. All right? The recipe for wonder. Add 2 eyes of a boy who knows the feeling of being protected. You know, batted, admonished, shepherd, short respect by birth order and the amount of tasks and responsibilities given over to the awareness of an equal amount of attachment and anchor. Add, wherever he goes, you go, and vice versa. The anger of losing your childhood to a child that you didn't ask for, but your birth was your worth to the oldest, to your mama's house with no father around, made you dad, made you holder of the keys, fried egg and bologna chef, couch change gatherer, store walker and kindergartner pickup, table gatherer for crayon coloring and approval of mom celebration and pictures. It was you who told me that it was okay to clutter outside the lines. It was you who took comic books from Michael, who hoarded Marvel comic books, who allowed me to read them and watch my imagination explode. Stir, master of the Mego men, master of the Kung Fu chop, master of the pliers and bunny ears getting foil to wrap signal that made the television come clearer. What's happening, Bonanza, Kung Fu, as we watch Don Kirshner's rock concert, Midnight Special, and Star Trek on our mother's floor. Fold in night. Night did not matter if I was in your charge. Learned that safety existed when we shoveled snow and I was attacked by an almost mauled by stopped short by your shovel to this dog's head, teeth retreating into the night just as fast as I was grabbed. As music, grandparents' basement, listening to walking into the sunshine, watching you master moves and me having no rhythm, watching you groove, me with no moves, but you tried to teach me anyway. Patient. My thick bifocals, astounding focus, focus the vocal of the permanent speaker in the amazements of watching you practicing standing backflips in the backyard and practice of the diving board and in more awe of seeing you on a high diving board doing high somersault dives, twisting and turning into the smallest splash. The divers on the world of worldwide sports on ABC. Don't let it boil over. Keep the heat steady. Watch how neighborhood bully beats me and your other brother. We can barely breathe. Your brother doing karate in a fight and all of us in fascination at the array of kicks, the sweet science of pugilism with a speedy excellence, giving equal parts of wow and whip his ass. Season in love, giving part to a big heart. Sacrifice, responsibility, how to give until it hurts, how tears are baited to suicide. How work is works and drives the flavor of this fish. That's what I got so far.
Nice, bro.
Oh, you, definitely. You crafted a tale there for sure.
Right.
I love the storytelling in it.
Thank you. I wish you could hear all the other poems that people wrote. Because they were even more amazing than I felt in mine. But, thank you for writing that in the back channel. For me, I'm reclaiming all of myself. And in reclaiming all of myself, it requires me to take some of the memories I have from childhood that I had, kept hidden inside of me and allowed them to walk free to remind me that even though certain things were bad, there was also most certainly so many things that were good. And it's helpful. And so whenever I get in somewhere I scribe, it allows me to actually access those memories through prompts and things of that sort. And I had a conversation with my brother. I'm going to land my plane after this. The conversation was my brother at his age now is like, he's about to, he's close to retirement, but he hasn't really had any fun in his entire life. He hadn't had any fun. And because of his responsibility, he got to be, he didn't get a chance to be young. He didn't get all that many opportunities. The opportunities that he had, he was either working, and he had very little time for his friends because he was too busy watching me. He was too busy taking care of me, too busy standing in for me. And even though some of the things in my childhood were all the repressed memories of certain things, I got to be a child. And right now it's like all I can give my brother now is wonder. And telling him to pursue it at all costs. So if you think about it, go do it. If you feel it, if you feel it, let it happen to you, because most often the thing that we lose as adults is our ability to have wonder, to be in awe of something, to let something let us be, you know, excited and joyful. Like, you know, I'm such a joy addict. Like, you know, there are generally things that when it's in joy, it really makes me cry, you know. And we don't have that portion of ourselves, and he doesn't have that. So all I can do is warm him through memory by telling him the story of how I saw him. He has always been my greatest superhero, always. And I know he finds it hard to believe when I say it, but I say it to him all the time. And I was like, this is my chance to get you to tell you to do certain things for yourself. You know, we all got this eating problem where we eat because we're trying to fill this hole in ourselves through repressed memory or something else like that. But we also have to take the same amount of energy and put it towards our wonder to fulfill ourselves with joy and to pursue those things that certainly, you know, excites our mind and causes, you know, the patterns in our brain to light up, you know, and that's all I want from him, so that's all I try to do now. All right, I'm at my point. Let me get up off that. Let me get up off that. All right. Gina just raised her hand. Gina?
Happy Tuesday, Mahogany. Sorry about earlier. I'm here.
No, it's not a problem, Gina.
Oh, I felt so bad. Like, I never have company, but my daughter stopped by after work today.
Well, come on, Gina. Come on. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The mic is yours.
All right. I've been bellied up to this bar for 3 hours so far. I'm watching people while drinking myself in or out of depression. I'm not sure which. I wonder if it's a distraction. And will whiskey give me satisfaction? See, my head is swimming in a drunken spiral because I'm a coward, a victim, a loser, wallowing in grief, suffering, and searching for relief. Pick up my phone, listening to nothing, praying for a dial tone like I would if I were on a landline phone, clicking on a number knowing that it won't be answered. My emotions currently are haphazard. I push the urge to cry downward, breathing, haggard. I simply want to call for him to answer, to tell me that I'm beautiful even when I feel ugly, and to wipe these tears that have plagued me. So I pray, and I wish, and I hope, and I need him to know that I'd like to have just one last call in peace.
Ooh. Ooh.
Okay now, Jimmy. Okay now.
Gina, I hear being tough. What's good, Gina? Wow.
I titled that one last call, and people were thinking that I was going to say, like, you know, the last call at the bar, and I was going to get my final drink for the evening, but that's not what I need.
The double entendre of that piece, the moving, that, you know, the extended metaphor that you took through that is always amazing. I love when you write and read written pieces, because you know, as great as you are as a freestylist, your pen is really, really strong, and you know, you got to show everybody both.
I wrote that a couple days ago, and I've been reading it every mic that I get on, because every time I deliver it differently, and I love it more with each reading. So thank you.
That's my formula. You know that's my formula. I get a new piece,
right.
I'm going to run it into the ground for a week or two. Y'all going to hear it.
I'm
going to get
this
piece.
I call that the Wallace effect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You need a hat or something? You good?
Yeah, no, we're good. I was reading something. All right. That being said, all right, so we're on the tail end right now. And so what we're about to do right now is we're going to finish out. We're going to go straight through. We're going to do a cipher, poem after poem after poem, so that we get the satisfaction. We'd like to thank Wallace, the Elder Reed, for coming through and having church conversation with us here on the 50 Radio University Starships here on Flash Speak Open Mic. I want to thank Mama Donna, Gina, Van. I want to thank the good people in the back channel for making me read crazy stuff right now. And but I appreciate it even more. And we're going to close this out. The Elder, are you ready for your next piece?
Oh, most definitely.
All right. And we're just going to go through. And when you end, Mama Donna, you just pick up. And Mama Donna, after you go and you end, Gina. And then after Gina, Van. And then I'll close this out. And that's the ball game. So are we ready?
All right. Ready?
All right.
I call this agency stolen. I call this agency stolen. I recall the time when I tried to make the right decision. When I fought with the anger that ran away with my actions. At 7, I woke up my anger. It manifested and I started to get intoxicated. It didn't stop people from bullying me. It didn't resurrect my father from the grave. It didn't take away the empty feeling of arriving home to no mother. But it gave me power. It made others fear me. Anger was a hell of a drug. Countless blow-ups, fights, books thrown. My mom being told, just keep me home. I landed the next year in a hands-on special education program. My anger addiction was still running strong. But I'm choosing today not to engage, not to rage. The usual suspects started today on the bus with their jokes. Yeah. But I'm choosing today not to engage, not to rage. After we got back from gym, Johnny whispered in my ear, I'm glad your dad is dead. They always knew what buttons to press. But I was determined not to engage, not to rage, but every fiber of my being wanted to flip my desk and beat his face in. But I was determined today not to engage, not to rage. I sat at my desk, mouth shut, leg bouncing rapidly. That was my tale. But still today, I choose not to engage, not to rage. My teacher, her name long forgotten, noticed my demeanor. She asked, what's wrong? I say nothing. She asked again, what's wrong? I reply again, nothing. Eyes begging her to leave me be. You're angry. That's why your leg is bouncing. I replied through clenched teeth, I'm fine. Her wrinkled mouth pinched into a grimace and her eyes narrowed. Tell me what's wrong, she yelled. I screamed, nothing. Please leave me alone. Tell me now or go to timeout, she growled. I knew my decision today not to engage, not to rage was correct. But this woman was pushing me past my very limited ability to control myself. The threat wounded me. The plain truth was I did not deserve her ire. She was losing control of her emotions and was plain to see, indignant that this bad kid was robbing her of her chance to be his white savior. To her, I wasn't allowed to be angry and sit with it. I had to divulge my inner workings of my mind so she could save me. I said, Miss, please, I've done nothing wrong. She cried, tell me what's wrong. I yelled, nothing. She grabbed me. I pulled back. She grabbed my wrist, eyes bloodshot, anger twisting her face. I kicked my desk over. As I scrambled to free myself from her grip, I did not deserve this. I should be able to be given my agency to be angry. Even the Bible says be angry and sin not. The teacher yanks my arms behind my back. I kick my legs and jump and twist. She sweeps my legs and we tumble to the floor. She's heavier than me. She rolls me on my stomach, arms behind my back, and she sits on me. I no longer cared not to engage, not to rage. With a primal scream, tears running down my face, I bucked and throw my leg at her. Through some impossible angle of contortion, I felt my foot connect with her head. With a grunt, she rolled off of me. I jumped up and ran out the room, angry and confused at how my right decision turned out wrong. And the elder spoke.
When I think of strength, I think of physical ability. I never think about the other forms of strength. When you think about your everyday struggles, you realize how strong you are and have been. The strength to get up every day and go to a job you hate, you do it only because it provides income. I faced that several times in my life, sacrificing time with my children to maintain a roof over our heads. Unfortunately, I find myself in situations where it was impossible to even do that. I had to find the strength to tell my children we are homeless again, looking at the disappointment in their faces because you F up. It takes strength to look at the ones you love and know that you cannot provide for them properly. It took strength to create a job after you couldn't find one to take care of your children. I did nails for 5 years. Let me tell you, that dealing with the public takes a lot of strength to not act out of character. It takes strength not to cry when your mother took her last breath. 2 seconds later, half her husband stole out her belongings to my sister and her kids. I was there, not them. Strength is a manifestation of necessity. I'd rather operate in my feminine energy. I was not afforded that luxury. It takes strength to face romantic disappointments, standing there while someone lies over and over again. It takes strength not to lash out in violence as the so-called man berates me as I stand there in bewilderment. It takes all I am not to crumble and fall into a fetal position. It'll be so easy to roll up into a ball and give up. I don't have the luxury, though. I'm so damn tired of being perceived as strong, especially when you know it's a lie. I'm not strong. I was just surviving. This is the ultimate strength of she. I know countless women who have faced adversity. I know that in the spirit of she, I was able to persevere through all obstacles placed in front of me. I understand that my strength comes from God. I have countless instances that when I tried to control the narrative, it would end badly. I knew when I lifted my hands up to God, my circumstances changed. The homeless situation would change. The relationship that was sentimental to my mental and emotional stability ended. My children have become what God has determined them to be. I became this person who has gained the most essential part of me through poetry. If you ask me, the ultimate strength of me is my belief in a higher power. For me, that means God. And that's what Mama Donna says.
My love and grief run deep, equally. My heart breaks completely, totally. No reprieve. Speaking of lost loved ones in present tense, it comforts me. My heart says, return today, please, for the RIP. Moments of memories causing tears to stream slowly and calmly, deep in thought until I calm myself and return to my center. Ending the crying, we still have to live while others surrounding us are constantly dying. I put pen to paper, keystrokes on devices, keeping them with me, happily reflecting. Sometimes a smell, taste, or a song will cause introspection. Moments of memories and fondness and reflection, positive vibes only in vague. I will see the sunshine yet another day, lighter. My pain lessens, even if it's only temporary. This is one of my many coping mechanisms. In peace.
Do you understand what it's like to not have you by my side, waking up to emptiness and pain on the inside while my emotions run wild because I didn't do enough? Losing track of my focus is rough, hurling words at an invisible body that used to be there, at least I thought, that loved me. Do you understand what it's like to wake up in cold sweats, thinking about all my broken relationships' regrets? Hearing echoes from the broken shell of a man that used to love hard and unconditionally for the approval of a woman, wondering when will it be that moment she will up and leave with unspoken word movements. Do you understand what it's like to be fueled by love and included in its pain? It's no wonder it always poured down with rain when the sun is shining so brightly on everyone else as my daylight is clouded with memories that just melts. Grabbing at the thin air, reaching out for a love that's just not there. Do you understand what it's like to know a version of love that made you blind, willing to forsake all others for a loyalty that was not mine, or a manifestation of a truth wrapped in a lie, and not liking the answer to the why, clutching my chest to feel my heartbeat slowing because of the death that was becoming. Do you understand what it's like? As a man to never be able to shed a tear in front of others because of an unspoken fear that someday my tears would be taken for weakness as the enemy no longer wishes to bear kindness. Do you understand what it's like? Poem.
I've been afraid of love, afraid to let her in, worried about the harm that may cause me to be experiencing the hurt, the darkness that comes with heartbreak, the surrender of soul, but someone having that much control of me. Watch me, march in step, put my heart on my sleeve, target easy, as quick as shooting ducks. I had to learn care less and to give no fucks in a garden where the game was the warden and the fuckboy menagerie runs wild and free, and I am wild and free. Wild as fuck mind and ignited spirit I be, but you appear like a sunrise, breaking the dawn of my night with a loving might that makes me acknowledge your light, the tendrils of sun, the kissing of my lands warming me because you accept me fully. Take this tired spirit, wrap me in beautiful intentions that lead to loving actions. Do your best to cover me. Push your hurts and trauma aside and forget about pride and walls and let them all down. Form connection and not attachment. Show that freedom is love and you want the best for me. Even if it means you can't be with me, you remind me that I stand for memory and the personage of me. I've burned my candle at both ends and given until there was nothing left. And you remind me to refill, re-rest, and refuel to restoration, to peace in a place where compassion with a passion pursued imbued the essence of love. I'm beginning to understand. Trust my heart. Seed planted is the pushing past the deep dark of dirt to blossom, the sweet sprouting, removing the mind doubting into belief. And that's the cipher. Let's give it up for Wallace Reed, the Elder, Ma Madonna, Gina Storm, the station manager, of course, you're not a bandit. and myself.
And that was great, man. That was a great, that was a great quick cipher. Appreciate it. I said it was a great quick cipher.
And all the pieces match. Weird, right? And the different forms of everything else is going on. But before we get out of here, because now it's time to say goodbye to all my black friends, Mr. Van Meadows, can you tell us what's going on in Epiphany Radio Universe for the rest of this week, sir?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Erotic Love Zone with Miss VIP and La Perla La Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, Iron Sharpens Irons with Anonymity and La Perla La Negra. Saturday night is going to be Poetic Therapy with La Perla La Negra. Sunday night is the Inspiration Factor with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and Alonzo. Monday night is King and Queen's Quarters with King Atterbury and Queen Simmons. Monday night, well, sorry, I did Monday night, but Tuesday night, be one of Mojave's great shows, whether it be Honey Dripper 2.0, War Council, or whatever great he decides to
War
do.
Council.
Mojave. War Council. There you have it. Javi, back to you.
War Council. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. So that being said, as we proceed to close and go over the outside of the school night, I really want to give a special thanks and shout out to the Elder Wallace Reed for coming through and blessing the mic and rocking out with us. And thank you all for listening and coming through that. Can you get a round of applause for the Elder? Let's hear it with the bell. And the applause.
This was a great time. I appreciate the invitation. I said, this is a great time. I appreciate the invitation. Thank you, Mojave. Thank you, Epiphany. Thank you, Van. I appreciate all y'all. Shout out to Pharrell if you're listening. I really appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you too, bro. Thank you for coming through, man. We enjoyed you. And Mama Donna, you too.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing.
I enjoyed this.
It's amazing. Thank you very much. And thank y'all for coming. So with that being said, stay blessed. Stay free, wash your hands, and try to avoid COVID if you can. All right.
Okay.
Mike, what's up, Destruction? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.